For three Sundays here at the beginning of community groups, we wanted to say, okay, let's all get back together. Let's say, what is community life at Gospel Grace Church? We've been in Bible studies before. We may have been in small groups before. We've come to services. What in particular do we want to be marks of our community life? What do we want it to look like? What should it be based on? How should we live in it? So that's what this series is all about. And we're taking 3 weeks. So last week we started with our foundation. Our foundation. Does anyone remember what our foundation is for our community groups? What is the foundation? I'll give you a hint. There's a little icon that might even just help you. What's our foundation for community groups? What is it? It's the gospel, right? It's the work of Christ on the cross, where he makes us a people through his death, burial, and resurrection. For those who believe in him, they are saved from sin, but they're also saved into his family. So that's our foundation, right? We'll talk about what that means as we review in just a second. This week, we're going to talk about our framework. So what's our framework for doing community life? We build on the foundation of the gospel. What's the framework? We're going to talk about that this morning. And then next week, we're going to talk about our functions. So how do we live in those rooms? What do the pieces of furniture look like? How do we interact with each other in each of those different aspects of community life? And what we're going to see next week is that God has gifted us, some people with specific things, but all of us to serve one another in those functions in community. So that's next week. So we started with foundation, went into our framework this week, and next week we'll do our functions. So let's talk about our framework. Let's look at the top of your sheet there. It says this: we were made for a close fellowship with one another that only the gospel can restore in us. At Gospel Grace Church, we want to have a framework in place where that kind of gospel-centered, grace-saturated fellowship can be learned and exercised. Although that kind of closeness ought to be occurring every time we gather as a church, it's unlikely in our day for us to naturally give ourselves to it without intentional training and practice. So our goal in community groups is to provide you with opportunities to instruct each other in the word, care for one another in love, proclaim the gospel to the world, and disciple one another in the best use of our ministry gifts. Our hope is that as we learn to live in and enjoy the kind of community that God made us to have, it will become a part of everything we do as a church. So that's our goal in community groups, to give you a framework where you can learn and exercise the relationships that God is making and building in us. So on the foundation, what's our framework? So behind me, there's a little sign, and it says busyness or business as usual. I said busyness because it's probably how we would all fill it in, right? We would all put busyness as usual. If you've been in church for any length of time, if you've done ministry around other Christians, a lot of times we view community life as really just how busy we are. So we think of how connected we are to the church in terms of how much we do at the church. So how's it going? You feel like you're really connecting to that church? Oh yeah, I'm on the nursery schedule. I'm on the music team. I'm an usher. I serve lunch here. I do this. I do this. And we look at our community life simply as our busyness. And church life becomes busyness as usual. To the point that we can actually come in this room, worship next to people, think we have deep, solid, whole relationships with people, but we're just ships passing in the night. We're just both busy. We've got to get to this. We've got to do this. We've got this in our head because we're going to have to serve, and so we just walk right past each other. But our goal at Gospel Grace is to actually step back and say, you know, we want to have things that we all do. We all ought to be serving, but in the midst of that serving, we ought to have this undercurrent where we're living in proper community with each other, where we're constantly living in these relationships, not just busy, 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 but we love one another, and we listen to one another, and we ask questions of one another, and we pray for one another, and we encourage one another. So our framework is built on that. So I wonder, when you think about your connection to Gospel Grace Church, Do you think of it as busyness as usual? Do you think of it as all the things that you do, or do you see it as the people that you are encouraging and are encouraging you? The people that you are instructing and are instructing you? The people that you're caring for and are caring for you? That's our hope as we discuss the framework this morning. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, give us grace. We were made for close fellowship, but our sin keeps us from it so many times. So change us. Help us to be people that are intentional in this. Grow us in this. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So last week, we talked about the fact that community is not simply sharing interests with other people, sharing backgrounds with one another, having things that are in common. That's not just community. Community is not just a group of people that are like us that like us, right? That's not just the community. It's much more than that. Community is actually a unity we're to have with God and others that comes as a result of the image of God in us. We went through Genesis chapter 1. We talked about how God has made us in his image. He is a triune being in relationship. He made us to reflect that. But our sin caused us to go astray. So we need help. We need God to change us. So this community life that God made us to have is only possible through the gospel. So then, community is a restorative work of God through the gospel. And we spent a lot of time in 1 Peter 2, where it says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. Not because we are all from the same place and we're all good and God picked out the good people. It's actually that we were called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once we were not a people, but now we are God's people. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. So our foundation is built on the fact that the gospel is restoring these relationships. So then we respond to that work of God. We start to work it in, right? We talked about that cookie illustration where we have chocolate chips and we have cookies, but you don't have chocolate chip cookies until you work it into the dough, right? Community is a response of believers to the gospel where we respond to the fact that we were once in darkness, but now we're in light. We once did not have mercy, but now we've been shown mercy. That's the foundation. And that really does affect how we interact. I hope that you looked through that lens this week. Did you look through that lens this week? Did you see the people around you? Did you see yourself rightly and others around you rightly to the point that you could say, you know what? That person right there, that other believer, they have been given mercy and so have I. I can prefer them. I can love them. I can be patient with them. Did you see yourself not as somebody who could succeed better or do better or competition or comparison or any of those things, but you saw yourself as the one who was once in darkness, but now you're in light? That's the foundation. Then we work it out in our framework. So here's your next blank on your sheet. Community is the radical sharing of our lives with one another around God's word in love, care, consistency, and authenticity. So here's your blanks. You can fill them in from the screen behind me. So what is our community life then, right? It's built on this foundation. How do we respond to that foundation? Well, we share our lives with one another in radical ways around God's word in love, care, consistency, and authenticity. That ought to be our DNA. That ought to be what connection looks like at Gospel Grace Church. So how am I involved in the radical sharing of my life with another person, with other people in this assembly, around God's word, not just because we like to share life with one another and we all just get along naturally and because we all look the same and we all came from the same place, no, but because the gospel is building that in us in love, care, consistency, and authenticity. We're going to look at a passage this morning that actually shows how that works out. It's in Romans chapter 12. You can turn there in your Bibles if you want to. But Romans chapter 12 gives us this picture of how the gospel affects how we interact. It starts with a phrase that says, let love be genuine. And then it starts to work that phrase out in several different statements, eight different commands that come out of that let love be genuine concept. And really, you could jump all over the Bible and you could look for this two-word phrase and come up with this same picture. The one another phrase, you see it all over the New Testament. It's these commands for how we should interact with one another, how we should love, encourage, care for one another. But this passage right here is actually a good little nugget for us to examine, zoom in on, and see how they interact with each other and how they flow into each other and how one is dependent on the other. So let's do a quick review. I know some of you spent time in this in community groups, depending upon how efficient your community group leader was with the material. You may have spent more time or less time on the material than others. My group was like, oh, the kids are already dismissed. We're in big trouble. But our framework looks like this. It looks like a house. And in that house, there are many rooms. And those rooms are reminders for us of what we should be doing and how we should be receiving from one another. And these rooms are the dining room, the living room, the front porch, and the basement. So I'm going to take just a second on each room, and then we're going to work through Romans chapter 12. In the living room, we remember that we care for one another. And this really is what is the heart of community life, this closeness, this fellowship, mutual sharing. There's a couple passages. Throughout the New Testament, we're commanded to love, be at peace with, and there's a long list of several of the one another passages we're supposed to do. But this one in 1 Corinthians 12 is wonderful for the reminder of how we're supposed to care for one another. Listen to this. That there may be no division in the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. So that means that we share life. You know, when I think back to the living room, in my own personal, like, physical life, I've cried in my living room with other people. I've laughed in my living room with other people. I've played games in my living room with other people. I became a part of a family in a living room. I was integrated into this family with the last name of Kimmel in a living room. And soon I became a part through marriage and my wife. Now we are part of that family. And really, it all centered around the living room. We made memories together. We lived life together. So when we think of the living room, we think about the fact that we share our life, we care, we get to know each other, we listen to each other, and we care for each other. But the living room doesn't stand alone. The living room is also a reminder that we need to be feeding one another the word, because our community is not based on the fact that we're just all like each other, it's built around the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And the picture I like to remember with the dining room is a big potluck where throughout the week, you've been in God's word, you've been studying it and slicing it up and understanding it and discerning it, and you've been putting together a side dish to bring to your community group. And your side dish is the word. You put that word on the table and you say, this is what I've seen this week. Let me tell you something about God. Christ is the main dish. We bring our side dishes and we say, I've got to share this with you. Because we all need to speak the word to one another, yes. But we all also need to hear the word from each other. We need to feed each other the word, but we also need to eat the word as it comes through another person's life. I need that. All your pastors need that. That's why I love community groups. Because I hear the word spoken to me from other believers, how it's filtered through their life and experience that week and where they've walked with the Lord. So we have the dining room. And we have the basement. And the basement is the reminder that we are to go deep in relationships. We are to see other people and their gifts and try and maximize those gifts in them. We, in the basement at home, maybe we have a hobby or we have a sewing room or we have something where we look at somebody else, we're like, hey, come here, I got to show you something. Come down here, I got to show you my, and maybe it's a big screen TV or maybe it's a train set. I don't know what you've got down there, but you look at somebody, you're like, hey, got to check this out, come down here. And in the basement, we say, you know what, hey, would you come here? We need to talk about something. This is what God's doing in my life and I want to share it with you. Will you follow me as I learn this about God? And it's an intentional connection with another person where you help them to understand something that you're learning about God. Maybe you see something in another person, you say, I got to help you with this. Come with me. Let's go look at this together. That's what happens in the basement. There's some texts up there that help us. That the first one, the top one, 1 Corinthians 4, for I became your father in Christ Jesus. I urge you then be imitators of me. Hey, come check this out. Here's what God's teaching me. I want to share it with you. Then finally, we don't just cloister in community, we reach out. And the front porch is the reminder that community invites others in. It's like as people walk past community and they smell what's cooking in the kitchen, right? You open the door and say, we've got plenty. And not just that, but we actually go out and stand on the front porch and we say, hey, come in here. You've got to experience this. There's plenty of grace to go around. Would you come and look at what grace is doing in here? Grace is making people love each other that don't normally love each other. Why are these people even together? I said that on Wednesday night to my community group. I love them all. But I looked at them and I said, look around this room. There is no other reason that we should be together except for the fact that the gospel has changed us at the core level. Look out to the people around you and say, this is what we were made to do. Come in, experience it. That's the front porch, and there's some great passages there. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, though, God's love abides in us. So people see God through our love one for another. By this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Okay, so Romans chapter 12. How does this all fit together? How does it overlap? How does it come into a place where we can say, I need to be in community, I need to exercise my gifts in community, and I need to give that community to other people. Look at Romans chapter 12 with me. It says this. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. It says, let love be genuine. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. Now, here's what I want us to do. I want us to first of all remember that these commands are not individualistic. Romans chapter 12 is actually this whole chapter about this community of saints that God has created. As we sacrifice our lives for Christ, here's the community that comes out of it. So this is designed for us to do in our own lives, but with one another. But then also I want you to see how all of these things are connected, how they overlap with one another. On the back of your sheet, you can take some notes if you want to. These phrases are there. So the first one is, let love be genuine. Genuine means without hypocrisy. It means that there's something real to it, that there's depth, that there's something there. It has teeth to it, right? You can reach out and you reach out and it doesn't like fade away like smoke, but there's actually something to it. Community is genuine. Let love be without hypocrisy. You know what's really easy to do? It's really easy to come into a church and learn Christianese. Like you look around and you listen and you start to pick up certain words, kind of like a child learning how to speak. They start to repeat the words they hear most. You can come into a church and start to learn what you're supposed to say and what you're not supposed to say, what you're supposed to bring up and what you're not supposed to bring up, what you can and can't talk about. And Paul says, actually, our love ought to be genuine. There's no off-limit topics when it comes to our hearts. It ought to be that we are not hiding who we are. It ought not to be that we look at other people and we're like, well, I don't want to ask that question because if I find something out, then I'm going to have to get involved, right? Let our love be genuine to the point that it abhors what is evil. Look at that next phrase. Abhor what is evil. So community is a place where it is safe for us to open up, and it's safe for us to ask questions, and it's safe for us to get involved with one another because the gospel has given us that foundation, right? But it's not a safe harbor for evil or sin in people's lives. We just get together. It's safe, so just admit everything and just keep on living however you want. No. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? May it never be. No. Abhor what is evil. You say, that's so restrictive. I mean, other people are going to look at me and they're going to say, you know what? That's sinful. Yes. That's what should happen here, right? That's so restrictive. I mean, have you ever really thought about that's really restrictive? Is it restrictive for a child to hear from its parents, you need to look both ways before you cross the street? It's restrictive when the child begins to walk out into the street for them to look at them and say, no, you're not going to walk out. If they're playing in the street, is it restrictive to say, get out of the street? No, it's not. our love is genuine, therefore we abhor what is evil in other people. We don't just abhor what is evil, though. We cleave to what is good. Because, I mean, most of us, when we think about community, we don't get really excited about the fact that everybody's watching us, and then whenever we mess up, they've got like a whistle, and they point at us, and they go, "You did something bad!" Well, that doesn't excite anyone. Okay? Abhor what is evil. Everybody's going to be watching you, they're going to blow the whistle on you, and that's going to just be this great time. No, no. It's actually that we cleave, we hold fast to what is good. We look around and say, "This is good." We look at what's good in other people and we encourage it in them. We call one another to hold on to what is good. Abhor what is evil. That will not stay here. We'll call it out. We all have blind spots that we need other people to share with us. But we all have areas that need to be encouraged. "Oh, you know what? That's good. I see something awesome in you. Let me help you do it more by encouraging you." Let love be genuine. So I wonder, this week, as we go into that framework, as we go into that place where we have a chance to let that genuine love begin to flow out, will you have something to your community life? It won't come from you. You're like, "Well, all of a sudden, I want to be substantive in my relationships with other people." It won't come from you. It will come from the fact that the gospel has filled you up, right? It's our foundation. The fact that God has restored his work in us, and then also we've responded to it in how we love one another. So it's filled up. So it allows us to go there. It allows us to get involved. It allows us to say, "You know what, I see a blind spot in somebody, and it's not going to be fun because it's really never fun. But I want to share it with them because my love is genuine because of the cross. It's safe here. But I also want to hold fast to what is good in their life." So this Wednesday, as you go to community group, and this week we're going to play out the sermon. We're going to work on the sermon from this morning. As you go, and you have opportunities to let your love be genuine, would you remember the work of the cross in your heart? And when you were fearful, and you're tempted to cover up, and you're tempted to hide in the shadows, because I don't want anybody to see, would you remember that the gospel is doing a work in your heart that allows you to be genuine? It also allows you to be genuine when you see something in someone else, to the point that you can abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good. May the gospel be the foundation that our framework is built on. So now look at that little room down there at the bottom. We've just got three. We're going to go through the rest of them next week. Those first three, where do they fit? Well, our genuine love has to really help us in the living room, right? It helps us to love people that aren't like us. We don't even like them, but we can somehow find love for them because the gospel has given us that genuine love. But it also affects the dining room, doesn't it? Because it allows us to speak the word, even though we say, "You know what, I'm not sure how they're going to take that. I have to call out sin right now." We don't call it out because we don't like it. You know what, that is annoying, and you just need to stop it, okay? Maybe you can do that with spouses, but in the church, make it based on the word. Give someone the word and say, "You know what, here's what the word says. Here's where you're at. Do you see anything that might be wrong there?" As we see that there's good things in other people, we go into the basement and we say, "Hey, let's work on this together. I want to help you maximize your gifts for the kingdom of God." And then what happens? We begin to show off to the world that God is creating a community that's not just based on common interests. Something real is taking place. These people really love each other. Not because they're trying really hard, but because the gospel is doing a work in them. So let's go and put that into practice, not in our own strength, but in what the gospel is doing in us.